Let us turn to the Word of God in Titus chapter 2. And with the Word of God open, let us bow again in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that there is a Word that is sure and perfect. It is so different to any other Word, for it is the Word of God. May our minds and hearts become subjected to it, and may we receive it. We ask that it may change us, it may work as the sun that melts the wax, that it may be used as a hammer that strengthens things, that as a knife it will cut those things that are not right. So we pray that Thy Word might bless us, and at the end may produce worship in our hearts towards Thee. Help us then for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Friends, the first object of the minister, a Christian minister, is to proclaim, to preach the gospel of salvation in all of its freeness and in all of its fullness. That is the task of any minister of the gospel. To show them the way of salvation, like John the Baptist, pointing to Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is the foundation of a sinner's hope to become right with God. And unless this foundation of the gospel is firmly laid, unless people are actually converted, it will be vain to attempt to explain to people how they ought to live for God. People cannot truly, with all their hearts, live for the Lord if they haven't a new heart given to them. What will happen is that they will try to reform their lives and they'll be frustrated because they seem not to have much desire. They seem to be dragging themselves and there is no strength given to them. No help from the Lord because they are still in their old nature. We must first know that we are all lost in sin and in need of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on our behalf, suffering that full anger and the condemnation of God on his soul. Why? So that sinners like us might, believing in him, might be forgiven. Now, there's a verse in this passage that we have read together that has been upon my heart for some time now, and I've been praying over it, and it is verse 6. Young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. We have, thanks be to God, quite a number of young men in this congregation. And there are those who think they are young men as well. And that is good. And here is a passage directed specifically for us. But I believe that it has general application for all of us to take home with us. And it is a very challenging passage. It is a very practical instruction. And the minister of the gospel, even though he has to preach clearly the word of God and the way of salvation, he's also exhorted to teach, as it says in verse 1, to but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, sound teaching. He has to also teach the way that believers now must walk. So there is instruction that is to be given to God's people. How should we be living a holy life? And to be exhorted, challenged about our ways, to be reminded what we are in Christ and what He desires us to be. So that is the task of an appointed minister, God-appointed minister, to be faithful to men's souls. Here was Titus, a young man. He was to preach to both old and young about their respective duties as Christians. We must exhort, teach, encourage both the aged, it says in verse 2, aged men, and then verse 3, aged women. It says in verses 4, to instruct the young women likewise. And also then in verse 6, the young men. So, you must teach them, the apostle says. Instruct them the things they specifically need in their condition, in their relationships. And if you took these verses, you would notice that here is reference made to aged men, aged women, young men, to have godly qualities, godly behavior, godly character. And here is a specific word then for the youth. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Young men. The word men does not appear in the original, but the name here is masculine. So that is why it is translated as young. But also it has to do with the name young here, or young men, has to do with movement, with agitation. It describes someone, this young man, it describes someone who is walking briskly. Not that young ladies don't walk briskly, but that's the wording here in the Greek. And so here it's maybe because of the activity or the vigor that is within the youth and within young people, or the fact that they can be so unsettled, easily agitated about just simple things of life. It becomes too much for them. And so that is possibly why it is this term is used for the young. Young men are oftentimes, frequently, impulsive. If we are honest with ourselves, you young men, haven't you been impulsive at times? Just you get all flared up and you make certain decisions and now you regret it. I wish I didn't do that. Well, this is the term that is used for us. Easily agitated. We can become passionate. We can be very ambitious. We can be very volatile and sometimes very arrogant. It's difficult for us to exercise self-control, to show good sense and have good judgment in all things. But that's the state not just for young men, but for all youths. All young men and women. But also, it can be for anyone who is young in the faith, immature in life. Age does not matter in many ways. It's to do with immaturity, and it has to do with lack of experience and godliness. Well, friends, as you think about all of these things, your minds also must go to the one who was a young man, and yet he was perfect. He was not impulsive. His mind was set on things of his Father. He perfectly obeyed him. And he perfectly obeyed his earthly mother. And he obeyed Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, who did all things perfectly, without sin. He lived that life without sin. He did good to men. His judgment was of heavenly wisdom. And you think about him. At the end of this message, I hope all of us will see how we need him, who is perfect. How we need him to give us wisdom, give us strength. And if we trust him, he gives us a new mind. He makes us to be sober-minded. He gives us of his Spirit who will lead us into things that are right and good. He helps us. And so, my friends, we need ultimately Jesus Christ. But here is this instruction. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. And there are two things, ultimately, I want to say. And under each, there are certain headings that I have. First thing is that the young men and women are especially called to be sober-minded. This is given especially for young men, and we could include young women, youths. But why is that? Why are they instructed in this way? Well, here we have a congregation, and praise God, it's a mixed congregation in many ways. But in terms of the ages too, it is quite mixed. And here is a practical word for you this morning. But let me, before proceeding, explain what the word sober-minded means. It means to have control. It means that all of our faculties and all of our dealings is done under the control and carefulness, under really the control of the Spirit of God. It means to be of sound mind. It means to be sensible, to be exercising self-control, self-restraint, having mastery over our hearts, over our minds, over our bodies. Now, we are called here to be sober-minded. We need to be reminded of this. Why is that? Well, first thing is this, that young men and young women, children, they are inexperienced as to the world. In their relationship to the world, they're inexperienced. Oh, the older ones would say, if I only knew the things I know now, when I was a young man or woman. And we appreciate the fact of our inexperience in our youth. You see, the world in the eyes of the youth, it looks beautiful, looks very promising. It promises us a lot of happiness. If you only worship at its altars, if you worship the idols that it offers to you and all these shrines that are everywhere, all of its allurements are put out everywhere. The world, as it were, has people canvassing for you to vote for it and to choose it. They are everywhere inviting us to take part in its enjoyments. And say, this is the life. This is what you ought to do and what you ought to have. And this is the thing that will make you truly happy and fulfilled in life. Here, you are given a flower, as it were, and say, smell this one. It has sweet smell. But then it doesn't show that it has thorns hidden in it. It offers you a cup to quench your thirst and says, look, here is a cup. And it has wonderful things in it, but it doesn't tell you that there is poison in the cup. But that's the way it is. And we wish we knew it. But the youth, they have no experience, or very little experience. And they don't realize, we don't often realize, that this is the problem with the things that the world offers to us. It offers for us permanent satisfaction, and yet we find it to be passing away, so momentary, so short-lived. It is like it offers you holidays after holidays, but it passes away very quickly. You feel, well, I didn't rest in that time, really. And so what we are offered every day, if you only look carefully, it has a label on it. And the label is empty, vanity. But it's all covered up. You don't see it to begin with, but experience and time uncovers that. And then you who are older in years, you think, really, now I think about serious things, important things of life. And it's only experience and time that has shown me this thing that I really worked for, this thing that I thought was so important, really, it has no value for me anymore. And when we are facing certain illnesses or something like that drastically to change our lives, then we begin to see things as they ought to be seen. And we see these things were glittering things. They were just shadows, empty shadows. What disappointments we have, and so on. So this is why the youth are instructed. And they are told to be sober-minded. But also another reason for them to be instructed in this is not only that they're inexperienced as to the things of the world, but also they little know their own hearts. We little know our own hearts. We say, well, I mean well. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And we perhaps mean well. We don't want to offend God, we would say. We don't want to offend anybody. But we are not aware how strong a bias there is within us. And this is why we need the Lord Jesus Christ to guide us and help us and to show us and to give us strength and wisdom. Because our hearts can be so biased and we can be so blinded and have our own so many blind spots. But the Lord Jesus Christ sees everything. He can tell you. He can show you. He's like that man who is above. He sees everything. And yet we don't know what is coming around the corner. But he sees, he knows. And so the heart of the youth can mislead them very easily. They are so full of, yes, I want to do this, I want to do that. This will be good for me. This work will be fine. This study will be fine. And it will help me. But we don't realize how naive we can be. And how often we are so positive about everything. And look, and isn't this the case with so many of the youth? They don't want to think negatively. They just look at the best possible outcome that this thing might have. And when it doesn't happen, they're very disappointed by it. And so here it says, be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. Be sensible about things. Be balanced in your minds. And this sober-mindedness comes through the wisdom of God, the instructions of the world. But no, if we don't know our own hearts, and we are in a certain situation, and certain habits are formed in life, and if we carry on in that way, just going after our own hearts, then no wonder it is that so many of the youth will grow up and call good evil and evil good. I was talking to an older man, and he was saying about his daughter and how she is now in the police force, but the things that she now agrees, and he said to me, but she was brought up in the church. We taught her various things, and she was baptized, professed faith, and all of those things, but throughout, I asked, what was it that caused her to change, forsake everything, and disregard the scriptures? He said, oh, it was all the things that were flooding her life, the things she was reading, the things she was watching, and it changed her mind. Before, she thought she could withstand all of these things, but she didn't realize the state of the heart, that it is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says, over a period of time, if you are feeding on ashes, then our hearts will also be led in the wrong ways. So how needful it is for each one of us to know the wisdom of God, to immerse ourselves in the spiritual things, to real things, and to be sober-minded. So that's the text. I need to be sober-minded. I need the wisdom of the Lord. Spurgeon writes about young men in this way. He says, young men are full of spirits. They are very sanguine. That means very optimistic, very confident. They are apt to be carried away with novelties. Exhort them to have that which is thought to be a virtue of age, namely sobriety. Let them be old when they are young, that they may be young when they are old. But now look at another reason that we need to be instructed in this way. We are surrounded, the youth are surrounded on every side with evil counselors and bad examples. That's why they need to be instructed to be sober-minded, because all kinds of things are coming our way, and all kinds of friends, peers are around us, and so we need to know, I must be sober-minded. Many people are living after the thoughts, imaginations of their own heart, and not after God. People are not ashamed in our society of what they do, but actually they glory in their shame, the scripture says. And then what they do, they say to others, come and follow. Come and do this. It won't hurt you. It will be fine. Even as a Christian, you can do these things. It will be okay. But those who want to live for God, there are very few, the scripture says. Don't be surprised by this. Don't be discouraged by this. The Lord Jesus Christ said that there are few that are on that narrow way to life. And of course, young people think that the great majority are right. Well, all these people are doing it. Then it must be okay. And these people, look, they are so happy. They're so glad. Isn't that what so many think? I would say to my parents, well, look at all these people on Friday nights, Saturday nights. They're all happy, singing away in the street. Why are we so miserable at times? And people would refer to Christians. Well, why do you think about these things? And why do you concentrate on sin and needing to be forgiven? A lady wrote to us some time ago and says, the whole aspect of forgiveness, it's very negative. It makes you feel bad about yourself. No, truly, if the gospel enters the heart, it makes us truly glad, truly rejoice. To know sins forgiven, it sets you free. To know Jesus Christ, His life in you, gives you hope, and it gives power to you for each day. And you can face all the storms of life because you know you have Christ. He helps you, instructs you. There is the light that is given to you in the midst of darkness. But people don't see that. And so we are to be instructed here to be sober-minded. Guard against those things that you hear or you receive as counsels from people. Guard against the bad examples that you will see. You're invited here and there. Come and join us in this thing. Here is an event. Here is this party. Here is this social meeting. And you think to yourself, is this right? Is this pleasing to the Lord? But then when it comes to living for God and holy living, living for Christ, reading the Bible and studying it, praying together, oh, that's too hard. And not many do it. People are reluctant to do it. And so here we are instructed, be sober-minded. Think sensibly. Think rightly. Think what is lasting. So here is an exhortation for each one. Now, let me move on to some practical counsels for the young. But I trust that it will apply to each one of us. The scriptures can be applied to every soul who reads it. And we can take something home. But here is this instruction. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Let me give you some general counsels. And to be as practical as I can be. The first point that I want to press on each one of you, but especially to young men and women, to boys and girls this morning, you ought to be thinking seriously about life and eternity. You ought to be thinking seriously about your soul. Let that sink into your hearts. You might think, well, what do I think throughout the week? You might be thinking about the things you are doing, what you are going to do. You might be thinking about exams and homework and sports and play and holidays and birthdays and friends. All of these things and many more things you might think about. And none of those things in and of themselves are wrong. But spend much time, think carefully about eternal things, about where you stand with God. Don't miss that in your daily life. And that is so important. That is what it means by being sober-minded. It's about a person who is thinking clearly about the world, about themselves. You are immortal beings. Every person here, yes, our bodies die, but we have a soul that never dies. And so this is why the minister is called to challenge and instruct and encourage you to think about these things. Because you have precious souls. And every one of us here, there will be a day, and every soul here this morning will have to stand before the tribunal of God. And to hear those words of the Lord upon them. Welcome or depart. And that's a very serious thing. And so all of us, we need to think about that. We need to have that before our minds all the time. That will then controls the way we think. It regulates. It helps us to know how to we ought to live. Eternity. God. Our immortal souls. But then again, we must pray to God. That's another way of being sober-minded, is by praying to God to guide you in every step of your way. For you to have this sensible mind, you need to seek the Lord. You see, sin is so deceitful, the Bible says, and so our hearts are so desperately wicked, that however careful you are, it can trick you and mislead you. It is God alone who can keep you. Keep the feet of His saints, the Bible says. If you had all the zeal of Peter, the Apostle Peter, you will, in the time of testing, deny your Lord. So you need the Lord to help you. You need to pray to the last moment of our lives. Whatever age we may be, we must ask God for guidance. We need Him. We need to pray. We need to know what we ought to do for Him. Step by step. Every step that we take, we should be praying, "Hold Thou me up, and I shall be safe." And then, we must also be diligent. Diligent in studying the Word of God. In Psalm 119, verses 9 onwards, we read, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." So as we listen to the Word of God, as we read it, we take heed to it. "With my whole heart have I sought thee." That's a young man speaking. "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." The world will have its own commandments, its own rules, its own principles. And they think, "Oh, well, if you do that, if you think like that, that's very, very narrow view of things. Or that's not the way to think." And yet they have their own standards. But all of those things will easily mislead us if we are not immersing ourselves and being guided by and take heed to the Word of God. So we must take the teaching of the Holy Bible and see the best examples of the people in it. We must see Abraham, for example, sacrificing his only son at the command of God. We must see Moses giving up the treasures of Egypt that he might be afflicted with the people of God. We must see the apostles. Apostle Paul, for example, who in all of his different scenes of trials, we ought to see how he felt, how he preached, how faithful he was to the Lord. But above all, we must see that blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in every step that He took whilst He was living in this polluted world. And so it is in this way that we will have this soberness of mind, sober views about life. We see in people's lives in the scripture how they were kept, how they continued, how they were filled with power and strength. We ought to be conformed to Christ and to walk in all things as He walked, the scripture says. Oh, the world will call you a fanatic. They will put you in the same category as fanatic Muslims and so on. And say, oh, you're no different to them. Let the world think the way it thinks and calls you radical. But whatsoever you say or think, you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, very specifically, let me say a few words. Think about how you should be as a young man and woman. Think about how you should be as an older man and an older woman. What are your responsibilities at the age that you are? What are the things that are right for you at your age? At a young age, boys and girls, young men and young women, you ought to be modest, the scripture says. To be humble in your attitude. Don't be a proud and arrogant young man or woman, thinking that you know everything. Thinking that you've sussed everything out. But be submissive, the scripture says, to those who are older. To those who are godly Christians. To hear them out. Listen to their instructions. The Lord has taught them things in their lives as they have lived for Him. There is this free and independent spirit of the age, and parents even give into that. Oh, I don't want to do things against the wish of my child. Even though the scripture says that train up a child in the way that he should go. That when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so there needs to be that guidance and training. And you don't break the will of the child, no, but you guide and help and instruct. There is nothing more sad, my friends, to see a young person who is filled with self and ego, and talks about himself and what he has done and achievements, and not be concerned really about others. It's sad to see a young person wavered in their mind, not listening to anyone who is older. But I know my own mind. I know what I have to do. I know what I ought to do. Now, the scripture says to be subject to those who are older than you. Also to those who have been placed by God to watch for your souls. Listen to them and ask them, you say this to me, can you help me from the scriptures? Show me from the word of God. And be ready to hear. Slow to speak, the Bible says. So in everything, young men and women, what are your responsibilities in your age? Humility. Respect. That's the thing that is lacking in our society. Honoring those who are older. The way children and young adults will refer to the parents or refer to the older ones. It is not respectful. Think about those things. Parents, guide those around you in the right way. And be obedient to the judgments of your parents, godly teachers, Christian workers, church officers. These are the characters of a person who has a well-controlled mind, sober-minded. That is something that is fast, it is deteriorating. It is not very much seen in our society, but it ought to be seen in those who hear the word of God. I'll also would say this, that always think, young men and women, about what impressions your behavior is likely to make on others. What you do affects other people. Don't overlook this. It can cause so much damage. Yes, you're affected by peer pressure, but also others will be affected by you and your behavior. Never make people fall because of the way you behave. So we should guard ourselves as much as possible that our good may not be evil spoken of, the Bible says. Even when you disagree with someone, make sure that it is done humbly and graciously. You see, these things will help you, will develop character in you, so that when you're older in years, you also will be self-controlled. You will be sensible in your judgments. These things must be said from the pulpit because it is so much lacking, even in the adults. I have met somebody above 60, and they can act like a child about certain things. Why is that? I think it doesn't happen over time, overnight. It happens over a long period of time. Practicing certain things, not thinking biblically, not letting the Lord control the mind, and this character, this mature character is not built overnight, but through prayer, through reading of the scripture, through hearing and listening to the word of God and to the instructions of those who are godly, it is then that these things will come about. So, my friends, we ought to think carefully, be sober-minded. But then I will say this too. One great help to be self-controlled and sober-minded is to choose for your friends those who are godly and wise. To choose for your friends those who are godly and wise. And here, parents and all the Christian friends must give instruction. He that walketh with the wise, the scripture says, Solomon says, he didn't himself always practice this, but what he says is true. He that walketh with the wise will be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. Who are your companions? Who do you choose to be your friends and those that you are with? Are they wise? Are they godly? We are told from the authority of the scripture that evil communication, that means bad companions, bad friends, will corrupt good manners. That means it will corrupt your behavior. It will have a negative impression upon your life. How many parents are here this morning? And you know those friends who many years ago your child spent time with, those who influenced the child. And you tried, you read, you prayed, you sent the child to the Sunday school, you did all of those things. But that daily impressions that were made upon that child, and where is that child now? What are they doing now? Well, here is the scripture's teaching. And the Lord is saying, be careful of the friends that you choose. Be wise about your companions. If there is an ungodly child, if there is a naughty child who is given to all kinds of things, be careful. Those who would begin to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, occasionally, they will come to stand in the way of bad men and sinners. And then at the end, they will be found sitting in the seat of the scornful. Those who would laugh at the things of God, who take the word of God lightly. So if you want to live wisely, we ought to be mindful of those who are around us. We ought to cut our connections with those and not have intimate relationships with people who are going a different way. That doesn't mean we ought not to be friendly, that we ought not to be gracious, But those who are having influence upon us, we ought to be very careful. And finally, be open to correction. Young men and young women, if you are to have sober-mindedness, a well-controlled mind, you ought to be open to correction. That's what the wise in Proverbs is. He hears any kind of reproof. It is the fool who will not hear. And so it is right for us all to be humble, to be open to corrections. If we don't want to receive any reproof, or we don't want to listen to someone who will show you a wiser path, then most likely you are in the wrong. We see easily the mistakes of other people and the hardness of other people. But we ought not to do the same thing ourselves. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good, the scripture says. Well, much more could be said, my friends. Those of you who desire to serve the Lord, the things, your very desire, things that you want in life, if it is not carefully controlled and regulated, may lead you astray. And so again, I would say to you, to daily spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Daily seek Him. Say to Him to come and influence you. Work in your life and heart. Be watchful over your heart. Guard also against extremes of every kind. Say with David, I will walk wisely before thee in a perfect way. Not in extreme ways, in a perfect way. God, guard against that. Extremes in fear. Extremes in confidence. Extremes in boldness and forwardness. There's a season for every grace. You have to be mindful of these things. So here it is again. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Are you sober-minded, my friends? Are you in Jesus Christ? Are you walking in the way to heaven? These are the instructions from the Word of God, and may the Lord speak to every one of us. Amen.